All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
We put the picture's name on everything.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
Baseballs, the t-shirt.
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run?
Baseball's the lunchbox.
I have to possess this comic.
Baseball's the breakfast cereal.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis.
Baseball's the coloring book.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Shut up, kid. You weren't even born when Star Wars came out.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. With the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the happy.
This is Geek Stuff, episode 33.
It's true.
Black Friday. Ooh. If you're listening to if you're listening to this on Black Friday, I promised you it would be up, and it's up. If this is not Black Friday, and you see that it wasn't up on Black Friday, then I screwed up really bad. But I do want to take a moment to apologize for particularly episode 32. Being late on delivery, and that was because we had to make some sacrifices last week for, well, this week, last this week, week, this week, for Big Kev's Geek Stuff to approach taking the next big step.
Oh, now.
I know we can't say anything just yet.
Keep it on the down low.
I know, but I just figured we should throw it out there and say that we're back on track. Hopefully you're listening to this on Black Friday or some point thereafter, and episode 34 will be timely as well, and hopefully the episodes thereafter. And that being said, I don't think we need to discuss this anymore. It's Black Friday.
That's right.
It's the first official shopping day of the Christmas season. And we got a bunch of things to talk about, but we're not going to take up your whole day with an immensely long episode where I say how shitty Marvel is.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm only going to say it right now. Marvel's kind of shitty. That's all I'm saying.
That's today. It?
That's it.
A whole episode.
That's it. Well, I mean, let's not get crazy. Let's not get crazy. Marvel shitty.
Oh.
I couldn't help. I'm getting like Marvel shitty Tourette's.
It's true.
I mean, I cannot believe some of the junk that's going on over there. I just can't.
Well, do you want to get right into it? We might as well. You've teased it, so.
Well, it's just I picked up the latest issue of Wizard Magazine, which I love dearly.
Sure.
I love Wizard Magazine. Aww. And of course, they're doing some sort of, I don't know if this is some sort of voting. Did they do some sort of voting on best this, best that? I think the point I'm trying to make here is that they've given Joe Quesada, they're calling him Man of the Year.
Did perhaps the voting take place in Florida, where the polling system is not really up to snuff?
With Joe being Man of the Year, I think the voting took place on Venus. Because it just makes me ill. Without going into much detail about everything, all the praise that they're lumping on Joe Quesada for Civil War and everything else, which I think is by no means praiseworthy a decision or a series of decisions than I do anything else.
Right.
Than Infinite Crisis. I mean, is it any better or any worse? I mean, it seemed at one point that it might be better because Crisis was a little tough on the brain.
Right.
And therefore, Civil War might have been a little easier to take. That's turning out to be just hogwash. And if there's any truth to the rumor that some sort of time-altering character is going to solve Civil War by going back in time and preventing the events of Civil War One from happening. I think I may stop reading Marvel
altogether.
I'm not sure. I don't want to say with 100% certainty, but it's definitely going to be something that I'm going to consider doing, because I just can't stand. I just can't stand this anymore. That being said, Matt, let me just say that little quote. Joe Quesada says, "People ask me if I get mad about the internet." He says, quote, "Do I get mad when people are talking about Marvel Comics? No. Whether they're talking bad about me or the books, all that matters is that they're talking. When I see a guy online bitching about a book with such passion, I know that guy's going to buy that comic, no matter what he says on the message boards." Attention, Joe Quesada. If I'm bitching about one of your books, I am not going to fucking buy it. And half of the people who are bitching about your books are either reading your books in the comic stores or on the newsstand, or reading a capsulized version of the book, or reading it, fantastic,
on the internet.
Right. We're not buying it. And you know what? The shittier your books get, Joe, the less we're going to buy them. There. Now, I'm bitching about you, the way you run the company, and your books there, and I'm not going to buy them there. So you're wrong.
And you buy a lot of shit, right?
I do buy. Look around. Look at the studio.
I can't even move back here.
That's what I'm saying. So there. That's going to be as much as I say mostly about Marvel
right
today.
Mostly.
Until later.
What do you got?
Well, since we are talking about Black Friday, or the show's called Black Friday, it's the biggest shopping day of the year, it's only fitting that we talk about the position of the toy industry on Black Friday. And it would appear that there is going to be a toy shortage this holiday season, mostly due to problems in China, where most of these figures are produced, packaged, and then shipped to the United States.
I thought that it was Santa Claus's sleigh was broken, or one of those myths.
No. No.
What?
Look, I'll be the one to tell him.
Not unless it's Santa Claus. It's
what?
I'll tell him that. Fantastic?
Yeah, babe.
There's no Santa Claus.
But there's a sleigh.
No.
Santa Claus has associates who take the sleigh out.
No. There's no...
Look, Santa Claus picks the toys up in China, but there's been a labor shortage in China, so the toys aren't ready for Santa to pick up.
Why would you do that?
Just let him be.
Why would you lead him on?
Because he's special. And
he's not special. He's retarded.
Well,
no Santa Claus. Fantastic. There's no associates. There's nothing. There's your mom and dad. That's it.
No, there's no mom and dad.
Wow. That ain't nice.
So what? They ran out of plastic too?
Well, we talked about this when we talked about Lego. There was a labor shortage. And then apparently there has been like all these power blackouts in southern China where these factories are. So it's like blackout, 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 no toys.
What?
Well, that's ridiculous. Stinks.
I don't know. I'm just saying.
I'm wondering how that will affect Christmas.
Well, coming from a background in the shipping industry in one way, shape, or form, most of this stuff actually has shipped already for Christmas. It would only be last minute orders, I think, that would really be affected by this. So
right.
I don't think it's going to be that big. I think your after Christmas, first quarter 2007 will be more affected than Christmas.
Well, coming up in December, Matt, we're going to explore some of this Christmas shopping madness with our first Big Kev's Geek Stuff video installment.
This is what I hear. It's the rumor.
And it's going to be... Midnight at Toys R Us.
Oh, Jesus.
He sounds psyched.
I've been there, done that, and have some bruises to show for it.
Yeah,
so
it's going
to
be an extravaganza. You and me are going to take fantastic shopping at midnight at Toys R Us.
I always think that we would just sit in the parking lot and drink. I know drinking in your car is technically prohibited by law. But I'm thinking that we could figure something out, like a tent.
Believe me, you're going to want to drink afterwards, perhaps. You're going to want to be as sober as possible for the actual event, though.
Of course, in order to get the Big Kev's Geek Stuff video installments off the ground, we will have to figure out the Supercam. the Super Cam is like
it's like an Egyptian puzzle.
you just can't figure it out.
Not nearly. It would be easier to go out and buy a new cam at this point.
I heard that no one even knows where it came from. It just landed on Earth one day, and
the
then
Super Cam just crash landed.
Yeah, and it fell from Santa's sleigh. Fantastic.
Hurting today, huh?
Sick burn.
As long as we're talking about all this good stuff, you know, Mattel is right now in the middle of a lawsuit, it would seem, with MGA Entertainment over the Bratz dolls.
Okay.
Which, Bratz dolls, not really something we would discuss normally on this show, but, you know, it's in the industry and whatnot. Okay. Apparently, three people from Mattel, three key employees from Mattel, left Mattel to go to MGA and brought with them a bunch of trade secrets, business plans, business outlines, brought it to MGA and thus helped launch this Bratz line. And so they're embroiled in this. Embroiled, is that the right
word? What's a toy trade secret?
I don't know.
Well, see, Bratz have a head that is 35% larger than regular doll heads.
It's true.
Is that a giant anime? Suppose. No, I don't know. They're just slutty little dolls.
I don't know, but they're huge, you know.
Psst, psst. Barbie likes chicks. What's the trade secret that Mattel's get? What? We're never going to make a balanced case with Superman figures in it.
I don't know. Maybe,
is that a trade secret?
Well, maybe Mattel was developing something similar to the Bratz line with a different name, maybe a different theme. And
no, I think they just like figured out
cunts.
How to give.
C-U-N-T-Z.
Yeah. Like, what?
But
what? That's, I think, what? That's feasible.
That's one of those ones I would buy.
I don't know that it would. Maybe they'd probably spell it some crazy way so that nobody would get in trouble, but I don't know. I can't
think. Con exclusive for sure. I don't think you're going
to. Oh, I bet.
You wouldn't find that on the shelves at Toys R Us. Excuse me, sir. Do you have the new cunts figure? That's awful.
What else you got?
Well, moving away from toys, I guess, and into the realm of movies. They finally have a release date or a release time period for the next Batman film, The Dark Knight. Looks like it's going to be summer of 2008. Which, I don't know. To me, that seems really far off. This seems like it's been a project that's kind of been in work. It's been cast. There's been all this talk about a script development and stuff like that. And we know that Chris Nolan has been kind of secretive about the script. But still, summer of 2008 seems kind of, it just seems far to me. I was thinking, honestly, I was thinking maybe more like fourth quarter 2007.
Well, there's no way it's not going to be a summer movie.
Well, that fourth quarter of the year, though, is a pretty big blockbuster time, too.
They're even sliding Harry Potter into summer films now. There's no way that movie was coming out anywhere other than a summer movie. No way.
Okay. Well.
And obviously, it's not going to be prepared for this summer, and they wouldn't really want it to be anyway. You got Spider-Man 3 this summer. Mm-hmm. You got Harry Potter and the Sons and the
right.
this
Order
summer.
Of the Phoenix.
Yeah, that's what I said. And, there's a lot of stuff coming this summer.
Well, you know, that summer is going to be pretty big, too. I mean, you're going to have The Dark Knight in July. I think it's like July 18th, thereabouts. You're also going to have Iron Man and The Incredible Hulk 2.
I thought you said it was going to be a big summer.
I think Iron Man's going to be big. I don't know about The Incredible Hulk.
I don't think Iron
Man. But I think Iron Man's going to be big.
Hulk, but yeah, well, the Hulk 2 is already coming out of the gates broken.
Right.
No Eric Bana.
Right.
That's the biggest mistake of all there.
Well, you know what? No Eric Bana, and it's supposed to be this kind of revisioning of the character, maybe, sort of. Maybe instead of just calling it Hulk 2, just call it The Incredible Hulk again and start over from scratch.
Yeah, that's a bad idea, too.
You think so?
Weird.
No, because there's already a dirty taste in your mouth because of the first movie, so you got to do something to separate it from the second
movie.
Yeah,
don't call it the sequel to the first movie.
No, but it's not what I mean. What I mean is to absolutely go in a completely different direction with the character and the people in it. That's what I mean. Replacing the main guy is like, I mean,
maybe
it would be like, all right, let's see. Spider-Man 1 was hugely successful. Here's an idea. Let's get that kid that looks just like him.
You know what? Maybe it's going to be
the kid's name? Jake Gyllenhaal. Let's get him to play Peter Parker in the second.
Maybe it's just going to be Hulk the whole film. It's going to be no Bruce Banner.
No.
I'm just guessing. I don't know.
No.
I thought it was Topher Grace who could have replaced Tobey Maguire.
No, I think
it was Jake.
If
Jake
they hadn't cast Topher Grace in the role that he's in now and Tobey Maguire wanted to quit, he would have been the logical choice.
Just by appearance alone.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. You know, in retrospect, I bet you if Topher Grace had a little bit more under his belt, he would have given Tobey Maguire a run for his money on that role.
For that role?
I think so.
I have no problems with Toby, though. I kind of like Toby in that role.
No, I don't either, except for the fact that you know one day he's going to stop and they're going to replace him with somebody.
Yeah, I guess.
Sam wants to make more movies.
Well, Toby said he would do it if the script was right and as long as Sam was still doing it. So I don't think Tobey Maguire is going to be the problem. I think it's going to be Kirsten Dunst.
And good.
Exactly.
And because then we can finally get
a smaller forehead.
We could finally get the person who should have been Mary Jane.
Alicia Witt?
Into the role. Absolutely. You hear conflicting reports. So
Alicia Witt, I think, would have been a little too old for Tobey Maguire, though.
No way. Are you stoned? She's younger than him to begin with.
Is she?
I think so. The point being is that you hear it one way, they took Kirsten Dunst because she was a bigger name, and the other way says that Alicia Witt didn't want to do it. So I don't know who to believe there. All I do know is that if I were recasting,
right,
she would be my first choice.
Okay.
She's way hotter than Kirsten Dunst.
Okay.
Way hotter.
I agree. I'm not disagreeing.
And she's really red.
I know.
Not this fucking fake red that you got going on with Kirsten Dunst.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
Well, since you brought up Spider-Man and you brought up Harry Potter.
You'll bring up Transformers?
Actually, no, not yet. We're waiting for that. You're jumping ahead. A couple of new teaser posters have hit online this past week.
Ooh.
We had a Harry Potter and the Order of Phoenix teaser poster.
Oh, wait, and they should be seeing that right about now.
Yep, featuring the ugly and not so happy looking Lord Voldemort. Kind of menacing, definitely a teaser, doesn't really say anything about the film.
Can I ask a question?
But, yes.
Was Hermione on it?
No.
Damn it.
Just Lord Voldemort.
You know, when I saw it doesn't have the Harry Potter label on it, although you can recognize the letters.
Right.
I looked at it, popped up on my screen, and I thought it was Abe Sapien for a second.
Yeah, well, he kind of has like the nose slits instead of an actual nose, kind of like Abe Sapien. The eyes are kind of big like Abe Sapien. The only difference is Abe Sapien is, you know, bright fucking blue and Voldemort's green. Like awful yellow.
is it Ralph Fiennes?
Yes, he's reprising his role as Voldemort. And actually, I think he signed for this film and the next film as well. So.
And no Hermione.
No, not on the teaser poster. We know she's going to be in the film. She's just not in the poster yet. It's a teaser. But we also had another set of teaser posters for Spider-Man 3. Again, they're really playing on the duality of Peter Parker and his traditional costume versus the black costume. It's another poster where he's leaning up against the side of a building, you know, and the reflection is him in the same exact pose, but in the black costume.
There's actually a lenticular poster out there
that kind of changes.
One
right?
of those where you turn your head, it kind of moves around a little bit, and it fluctuates between the black and the red of the chest and the emblem right. on the chest. That one's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's a great poster.
It's, well, you know, I think the movie's going to be great. But we also have one more image that was released. It's a Frank Miller drawing of the Spirit, which it really seems that the Spirit is going to come out before Sin City 2, which I think is a huge mistake. I think it's a big mistake to do that.
Really? I don't believe that that's true.
That it's because, a mistake?
No, that it's coming out before Sin City
well,
2.
Well, Frank Miller keeps saying it's going to be one or the other. And there was an interview online recently with Clive Owen, who, you know, was in the first Sin City, who said he hasn't seen anything firm. He knows that they're doing the movie, but as far as he knows, there's no plans to go into production anytime soon. And everything that keeps on leaking out, it seems to be Spirit-oriented.
All right.
And my concern is that Frank Miller has gotten this directing bug, and he's lost his focus. And instead of finishing one project, which in my opinion would be the Sin City movies, he's going to jump to another project and jeopardize the future of the Sin City sequels.
Right.
So we'll have to see. We're going to follow that a little bit closer. So.
Okay.
That being said, we can also now say that the Revenge of the Nerds remake movie has been canned.
Thank God.
No Tri-Lams in our future.
Thank God. That was, who was that? Fox Atomic?
Yes.
Fox Atomic was trying to make that movie?
Listen to me. I don't know.
Stop remaking fucking movies.
Yes, it was just Fox Atomic.
Stop it. It's enough already. Why on earth would they choose to remake that anyway?
I don't know. And, you know, Curtis Armstrong, better known as Booger, was strongly against it as well. They actually did a screening, I think, recently of the original film somewhere, and Curtis Armstrong kind of hosted the event, and he came out and said that he was strongly against their revival. I don't know.
Oh, man, I would have loved to have been there for that.
California.
It probably
was California.
I'm sure.
Stupid West Coast.
So, yeah, so that film is dead, which is good. I agree with you. I don't think that was a film that needed to be remade. I think that film is classic and fine just the way it is.
Hells yes.
And it kind of has that little cult following thing going for it, and it shouldn't be touched.
I have a great announcement.
Okay.
DC is continuing its Absolute series.
Uh-huh.
The Absolute books from DC are DC takes a limited series and does them in a large, oversized, hardcover, slipcase format.
Sure.
That contains a lot of, usually a ton of extra materials, sketches.
It's like a DVD special edition.
Yeah, exactly. And it's oversized, too. Uh-huh. So you really enjoy the art at a really much larger size. I don't know exactly what the percent larger is, but they've come out with, obviously, The Watchmen, Batman The Dark Knight, recently Sandman,
right, which we've talked about on this show before.
Yeah, and now they're going to follow up with Absolute Batman The Long Halloween.
Ooh.
Which is a fabulous Jeff Loeb and Tim Sale series, fantastic book on its in its own right, a fantastic book, but now blown up and filled out to the gills in an Absolute edition. I think you can look forward to that coming very, very soon in April of 2007. So just a scant few months away.
Awesome. And since you've brought up Jeff Loeb, real quick, I'd like to interject here. If you haven't seen the new episode of Heroes, holy shit, that's a good show. But I think we should revisit Heroes maybe when the season's done. We can reflect on the entire thing. Well, we're on episode 9. Next week is episode 10. I'm guessing the first season's not going to be a full 22. I don't know for sure because I haven't heard.
Oh.
But I'm guessing, you know, in the true form of first seasons, it might be closer to like 18.
Plus, you got to give me a chance to catch up, having just downloaded them off the internet. Come get me, you bastards. So I got to get to 9.
Yes, I just wanted to throw out there, fucking awesome. You really need to be watching this show.
The Fantastic Rebellion continues.
Exactly.
Free, live free or die. That's
it's a one-man rebellion, really. Sort of.
What else you got?
Well, before I get into this, Fantastic, would you do me a favor? Would you cue the stinger, please?
Transformers
movie! So it came out today or yesterday that the Decepticon Bone Crusher, his design is going to be based on the Force Protection Industries Buffalo, which is it's a military. They make military vehicles, and the Buffalo is kind of like this giant tank with a huge claw on the front of it. It's a mining vehicle, actually. It's an armored mining vehicle.
It looks like a cross between... It has giant wheels, though. I think it's wheeled, but it's an armored vehicle.
Correct.
And it had, just like you say, it looks like a big backhoe.
Yeah.
Just kind of strewn over the top of it.
And for those of you that don't remember or don't know, Bone Crusher was Decepticon, who was part of the Constructicons. He is the only Constructicon that's going to be in the film.
Does she have a bag?
Yes. Awful.
What?
Anyway.
I think that was funny. What?
Well, you're going to have to explain it to me because I don't get it.
The big black hoe.
I thought I said back hoe.
I may have misheard you. I was on to other things.
No, but maybe I said black hoe.
I don't know. I think he just said backhoe.
Well, Cosmo Kramer, do you have anything else for us this episode?
I just want to point out the fact that on December 5th...
That wins so far.
You can pick up Volume 2 of Animaniacs and Volume 2 of Pinky and the Brain. And something we were talking about during the show prep period before the show is that I think, didn't they initially release Animaniacs as Season 1 and Pinky and the Brain as Volume 1? And it seems to me here that they are listing these as Animaniacs Volume 2, Pinky and the Brain Volume 2.
You know, it's kind of weird. I don't know. The only thing that I could think is that perhaps Volume 2 encompasses more than Season 2. Do you know how many seasons there were of the Animaniacs?
I don't know. It just went on forever.
But did it, though? Because it seemed like it repeated a lot. But I don't know how many actual seasons of new episodes there were. It's possible that there was only 2.5 seasons, let's say. So Volume 2 could be all of Season 2 and the little bit of Season 3 that existed. Because that happens. That happens a lot. I mean, it happened with Family Guy, and it's happened with some of these other shows that are kind of broken down.
I'm sure
that
could be it. I find it odd that they would choose to release it as Volume 2 and they've released the first as Season 1. So I'm just wondering what the thinking is there.
Yeah, I don't know.
There's 5 discs in the Animaniacs Volume 2 and 4 discs in Pinky and the Brain Volume 2. So I'm wondering if there's going to be a price break.
There might be.
Where I'm looking right now, it doesn't say right off the bat how many seasons there are, but it does say that it aired from 93 to 98.
Oh, okay.
So,
okay.
That would be, wait.
It's 4, Kevin.
Right. Well, 5.
No,
carry the 1. No. 5. Did you say 4?
It was joking.
I figured you'd bite. I don't know.
Is that the new math?
It's the crazy math.
All right.
About 5.
That's it. That's all I got.
That's all I got. But I know Fantastic has something.
Fantastic?
He did a little shopping. You,
I did a little shopping. Well, I went to Burger King.
It's shopping.
Hey.
I got myself a value meal.
You going to review a Whopper for us?
Grilled chicken.
Nice.
A little bit salty. A little bit of rubber.
Ooh. Yeah. Well.
A little bit of rubbery.
BK Lounge.
Also picked up a Whopper with cheese meal and a big fish meal.
Wow. All for you?
It's a big lunch. Fantastic.
Nah, I went and I bought for some people at work.
Ah.
But when you buy a combo now, you can get an Xbox 360 game.
Right.
And it's not just any Xbox 360 game. It's not like they have regular games there. They've come up with 3 exclusive promotional games that play on Xbox 360 or Xbox. And Microsoft and Burger King have come together and put together what I would probably deem to be the most bizarre games you have possibly ever seen. At least one of them is really bizarre.
Yeah,
and then
one
the other
of
them two
is...
are just, you know, weird, generally
right.
weird. And we took a look at them earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And I would definitely say the weirdest one is Sneak King.
Yes.
Which features you playing as the king from the Burger King commercials with a giant wooden mask head.
Right. I think it's fiberglass.
Fiberglass. Well, I only say wooden because he actually knocks on it in this and it sounds like wood.
Sounds like wood.
You know, when you're doing badly in the game and somebody catches you sneaking. And the object of the game is to sneak up on them and serve them in a manner, in an extravagant manner. And there's a little meter, kind of like if you were to serve in a tennis
it's a
video
flourish.
Game. Yeah, they call it a flourish meter. And when it's at the top of the flourish, you dance around a little, and then you spin, and then hand them the hamburger or the Mc, or not the Mc, the omelet,
you know,
sandwich
what it is?
Or whatever they call it.
It's an end zone dance, but instead of spiking the football, you hand them a croissant sandwich.
And you surprise them, which is where the points come in. And I got to say, the graphics in the game really aren't that bad, especially on the 360. It's cool that it plays in both the 360 and the regular Xbox. It's only $3.99, but it is a novelty. I mean, you know, you could probably go at max maybe 35 minutes before getting really bored or play through the whole thing. The real allure, however, is that if you play it on 360, it'll show up in your games list as, you know, Sneak King, and there's achievements that you get, and people say, oh, you know, this guy's playing Sneak King, and he's served 3 croissant witches successfully with maximum flourish.
Which is what you want to be known for in the gaming community.
Exactly.
Is being proficient at the gayest game ever created.
That could possibly be construed as a very gay game, since when you're sneaking around, he kind of tiptoes in the creepiest way.
It's very prissy.
Yeah, it's very impressive. You can hold the R
king.
Button.
But it's all like he's on his tippy toes.
He's sneaking.
He's got the double fag hands going.
He's sneaking.
It's kind of rough.
The whole concept of the king is bizarre in itself. The other two games are Big Bumpin' and Pocket Bike Racer.
Right.
And they also feature Brooke Burke, which is a weird thing. And you're telling me that Brooke Burke was on, I guess, Burger King's payroll a while back,
I think,
right?
I seem to remember there being a Whopper campaign that Brooke Burke was involved in. I mean, I could be completely
you're right.
Wrong.
I don't remember that.
But it was like a year or so ago. Yeah, it might have even been a Super Bowl ad or something along those lines.
She was just being Brooke Burke and being sexy and then eating a Whopper.
Eating a Whopper,
which
right?
Which was the most unrealistic thing there is. But
you know what's funny? It's that finally Fantastic can live out his dream of manipulating Brooke Burke.
I thought you were going to say of being Brooke Burke.
Well, the funny thing is it's one of those little mini bikes, those pocket bikes that Zach Braff's character rides around on some of the seasons of Scrubs. And seeing Brooke Burke sit on it, like she has to kind of sit chicken wing style with her legs. And like you can tell on the model that there's like somebody modeled a little shadow into the crack of her ass riding on the bike. That one's, I'd say, mediocre. It's kind of like Mario Kart without the charming allure. Sneak King is mediocre too. Big Bumpin' is actually pretty fun. It's kind of like a subset of the Fusion Frenzy hockey games where you're sitting in a little
bumper car,
exactly, and you kick a little puck around, or you play kind of like it, like kill the man with the ball. You give an item to somebody, and if they have it at the end, they blow up.
Now I didn't notice, but on Big Bumpin' and what's the bike one called?
Pocket Bike Racer.
And Pocket Bike Racer. What is the multiplayer?
The multiplayer
Can you play more than two? Can you play four?
You can play four player on both of the games.
Right.
You can play online on both of the games over Xbox Live.
Right.
And you can play, it has voice, has leaderboards, they're full games.
Wow.
The production value for a $4 game, the production value is much better than some of the original Xbox games that came out in like, say, the second or third generation of wave of Xbox games. And as a novelty item, as a collectible, I would say it's pretty high. They're going to be around until December 21st or so. But eventually, you know, if you have it wrapped and you have it part of a larger collection, I think it's going to be a pretty nice thing to have if you're a collector of video games.
Yeah, a year from now, Big Bumpin's going to be fetching $50 on eBay.
Just really? The weird factor alone is enough to, you know, intrigue. And I got to say, I mean, it works. I went and I bought three sandwiches and it costs like $30 by the time I get out of there. And I want to punch myself in the face. But
yeah, but you know what? You walked out with three games for $30.
You should want to punch yourself in the face for actually having eaten any of that food.
Hey, grilled chicken sandwich ain't so bad.
Ain't so bad.
Gives you diabetes, but.
Well, there's that.
Yuck. I hate fast food. Except Taco Bell tacos.
Ooh, Taco Bell.
Taco Bell tacos. The perfect food.
I don't know about the perfect food.
The perfect food. It's got a corn tortilla, hard corn tortilla thing, right?
Fried.
That's kind of like the earth, right?
Okay.
So, follow me here.
I'm following
you. It's kind of like the earth.
Yeah.
And then you got the spicy meat.
Okay.
Right? That's kind of like the fire.
Grade D.
Okay. Right? Regardless of what the grade is, it still tastes all right. Then you got the crispy, cool lettuce.
Okay.
Lettuce is a water vegetable.
Okay.
So it's kind of you got the water. And then breezed across the top is the light and airy cheese.
See, I'd go with the after effects of the taco supplying the air.
Molten lava.
Of it. Yeah. Well, before the molten lava, though, there's a... Anyway...
I think it's good.
Right.
I think it's a perfect food.
I think we need to take a short break.
What's up, everyone? This is Kenneth Robert Marlowe, voice actor for the anime series Gravitation and Genshiken. If you have a shop that deals in toys, comic books, and other geek-related stuff, maybe you're an artist, perhaps you got a band you want to promote. It's a good thing to know that the Geek Stuff audience is growing week by week. Perfect place to advertise your shop, your artistry, or your band gigs. Shoot an email over to bigkevsgeekstuff@gmail.com and talk to them about advertising right here on the show. Once again, that's bigkevsgeekstuff@gmail.com.
We'll be right back. Hey, this is John Wesley Shipp, The Flash, and you are listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Used to tell me stories about the old days, a time of peace, when the Avatar kept balance between the Water Tribes, Earth Kingdom, Fire Nation, and Air Nomads. But that all changed when the Fire Nation attacked. Only the Avatar mastered all four elements. Only he could stop the ruthless firebenders. But when the world needed him most, he vanished.
Before kids entirely and altogether stop playing with toys in favor of these video games on this Black Friday, I think that we should talk about a very exciting product for the younger collector.
Ooh.
Now, Matt and I have been privileged enough to see a few episodes of a lovely television show called Avatar: The Last Airbender.
And I'm not going to lie, I actually kind of enjoy it. I'd consider watching more of it.
Yeah, it wasn't entirely bad. It kind of, it's kind of a story set in a mythical world where there's the Fire Clan, the...
It's the elements, air, the fire, water, air.
Water,
much like your taco.
Much like a taco, yes. Much like a Taco Bell taco. That's very good, Matt. And so they got the fire something. Is it a tribe? I can't remember.
It's the airbenders, the waterbenders, the firebenders.
Well, no. You're getting too specific because those
are... It's the fire tribe, water tribe, air tribe, and...
Air nomads.
Yes, air nomads.
And the water tribe, I guess, and the earth clan.
Yes.
Something like that.
Something along those lines.
And I guess the fire... The Fire Clan, I guess, has been waging a war for the last 100 years since the Avatar, who was the person who kept this world in order by keeping each of these elements at bay, disappeared.
Right.
And the prophecy is that the new Avatar will be born of air people.
Correct, the air nomads.
Air nomads, yes. And but of course that hasn't happened yet. The Fire Clan is getting close.
Fire Nation.
Fire Nation is getting close to winning the war.
Right.
And these two youngsters from the
Water Tribe. One of which is a water bender.
Right. Whose names I know one is Sokka.
And the other one is Katara,
who is Sokka's sister.
Correct.
So it's a brother and a sister, and I guess they're out in the, I guess their tribe is somewhere in the north because they
South Pole.
South Pole, right? And I guess they find the Avatar,
right,
frozen in an iceberg.
Aang,
right? Who's an airbender, but I guess they don't reveal right away that he is the Avatar. I guess that. Wait a minute. Could that have just been a spoiler that I just...
No, they kind of hint at it the entire episode that he is the Avatar.
It's true. And of course, the leader of the Fire Clan, who is...
Prince Zuko.
Zuko. Like Danny Zuko.
Yeah, exactly.
He is obviously looking to capture the Avatar so that the Fire Nation will win the war.
Right.
It's kind of an interesting... little storyline.
Mm-hmm.
It has interesting characters.
Sure.
They're written very... I think the Sokka, the brother character, is written really funny.
Yeah.
And the design work is very nice. The concept is very nice. I think it's very much... They show it on Nickelodeon. It's a Nickelodeon show. And I think...
It's an anime in some way, shape, or form.
Right. And I think it's well-placed on Nickelodeon.
Sure.
Because I think it's kind of that eighth grade kind of cool.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's got a good amount of action in it, and it looks like there's some sort of you know, warfare going on. I don't think it's necessarily, although it will be argued that it's just for boys, but I don't think that's necessarily true because I think that with Katara being a waterbender and being pretty much the other lead character here.
Right.
I think they're kind of going for that kind of, we need to capture the girl angle.
Oh, sure.
And now Mattel has done a couple of series of figures and other products based on Avatar The Last Airbender, which I just think are great.
They are. The design on the figures is pretty interesting. Aside from the fact that the sculpts are really nice and they're vibrant, paint jobs are really nice, the variation on them is pretty nice too. There's a good plenitude of figures.
Yeah, you know, they got a good weight to them and they're stylized, but they're not over the top. It's
right.
Not like Kevin mentioned that World of Warcraft, you know, just giant
right.
heads and giant arms and legs. But there is an element of you know, anime kind of meets Western art there that I kind of like them. I like them.
Yeah, I like them too. I think Mattel definitely did a good job, picked a good license to acquire, and did a good job producing the figures.
And we've gotten, I think, what amounts to maybe the first two series here.
And some of the peripherals, yeah.
And some peripherals. I guess the first series was the Air series.
Uh-huh.
Am I guessing that right?
I believe so, yes.
And the Air series consisted of Avatar Roku, who perhaps maybe that's the last Avatar.
Yes, it is.
And I haven't really gotten that far to know exactly who he is. But if I read the flavor text on the packaging, I learn that he is the former Avatar who lives in the spirit world with his giant telepathic spirit dragon.
Right.
His spirit returns to help Aang battle the Fire Nation. So there you have it.
So there you go.
You also get Water Nation Aang.
Right.
Who I guess is Aang dressed as the people of the Water Nation dress. Prince Zuko.
Right, who is the leader of the Fire Nation.
Right. Airbending Aang.
Right.
Water Tribe Sokka.
Right.
Do we actually get Water Tribe Sokka?
Yeah, I believe we were looking at him a moment ago.
No, that's War Paint Sokka from the Water series. You have him over there? All right. Firebending Soldier, who is kind of the Fire Nation, kind of the generic
right.
trooper. Ooh, trooper. Of it. And also Avatar Spirit Aang.
Right.
Who's kind of a blue.
It's
kind of
almost like a, he's blue and translucent-y kind of.
Yeah. Yeah.
In addition to that, there was a 10-inch line.
Oh, there is.
That they put out. We have the first two of those also. It's Ultimate Avatar Aang and Fire Assault Zuko. Both of them come with battle action sounds and phrases, as well as some light-up accessories. I think Zuko comes with a light-up fire whip and flame sword, and Aang comes with his hang glider and then his eyes and the arrow on his head. Lights up and glows.
Kind of like the cartoon.
Right.
We should say that the 6-inch series also, the 6-inch series, at least the Air series, and, well, both of them, but we haven't gotten that far yet. The Air series, they all come with appropriate accessories, which are very nice. And then we also have the Water series, which is series 2. Now, I think the way the cartoon is broken up, I believe it's broken up into what they're calling it book, like book 1.
Right.
Air.
Right.
And I think book 2 will be Water, if the figures are any indication of how the series is going. So that being said, the Water series 6-inch consists of War Paint Sokka.
Uh-huh.
Still no Katara figure, which bothers me.
Right.
Really bothers me, Mattel. Don't be caught up in this whole, we can't put out a girl figure, yet you have a girl as a potentially a lead character here. I can't see why they've done Sokka a second time here without having done her the first time. So that kind of a little weird. You have Admiral Zhao,
right.
who is a Fire Nation admiral. You You also have King Boomy, I guess is how we're saying that.
Right.
Who is a friend of Aang when they were both young, and he's now older and crazy looking. He's one of the Earth Nation people. Very interesting. And then, of course, Blue Spirit Zuko also is new in this line, and Water Vortex Aang also new in the line.
Right. Now, we also, going back to the Air series, we have a couple more things that are in there. We have the Battle Benders, Fire Blast Zuko and Air Cannon Aang.
Now, this would be the 6-inch line that has some sort of special accessories.
Yeah, it's kind of like the deluxe
right
figure.
Kitchen sink.
Kind of, yeah. Zuko comes with his light up flame blasts, and Aang comes with his light up air blasts. In addition to that, the Air series also features some, I guess, which would be the equivalent of a vehicle assortment. You've got the Fire Attack Rhino, and you also have the Air Attack Battle Glider. The Battle Glider kind of reminds me of something you would see in the Flintstones for some reason.
Really? And these are geared for the 6-inch line, right?
Correct.
Okay. Oh, there we go. What do I have? The Air Attack Battle. Oh, it does look like...
Kind of looks like Flintstone-y,
like a
doesn't it?
Flintstones car, yeah. That's interesting.
In addition to that, there's also some...
The Fire Attack Rhino, did you say?
Yes, it's Fire Attack Rhino ramming action.
Wow, that piece looks actually kind
of
cool.
Some of these remind me of older He-Man toys, Masters of the Universe.
You know what? The Rhino actually kind of has a Battle Cat kind of feel to it.
Yeah.
With some of the armor on his face and body, the color, the sculpt, the size. It does. It does remind
me
of
It also looks
of
like
Battle
it comes
Cat.
With two fireballs and a catapult on his back.
Yeah.
That kind of reminds me of that. I know it was motorized and it really didn't look like anything, but it was like a ship in He-Man that shot discs.
Yeah.
And kind of reminds me of that.
Well, it's...
I guess there's certain elements that have been successful in a younger children's line.
Sure.
That are going to continue to be incorporated in lines as we go along.
Sure.
And that's probably why you're seeing that recognition. Fantastic. And one of the now this one you and I have split company on here. Mm-hmm. This is the air launching Aang and Appa. Appa is Aang's flying
bison.
Yeah. Who's an interesting character in the cartoon, big giant bison who flies.
Right.
And in here what they've done is they've made a kind of a little launching. If you can remember when you were a kid, one of those things that you would wind up, like with the little propeller, and you press the button and release it, and it would soar up in the air
right.
some 30 or 40 feet.
It spins like a helicopter.
Yeah, right, exactly. And basically what they've done is they've made a little Aang figure, kind of a posed, molded Aang figure with one of these propellers up top.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of rev him up in the back of Appa, press a release button on Appa's back to release him up into the air.
Correct.
But this is not in scale for the 6-inch figures.
Well, I think it's pretty close. The Aang that comes with Appa is not a 6-inch figure. It's probably like a 4.5 or 5-inch figure.
4.5, maybe.
It's not that much smaller. Not only that, but the back, the seat that's on Appa's back where you would put the spinning figure, while it certainly is made to fit the much smaller Appa, if you were to take an Aang figure and put his feet in that, you could put it with it.
Right.
I think that you could put that Appa in a display with the rest of your Avatar figures if you wanted to.
With the absence of another Appa figure that was in scale, I guess you could probably do that, but let's not forget that...
I don't think the scale is really that far off, though. Well, not as far off as you think. I think compared to the Battle Rhino that we have, he's much larger than that. I mean, you know.
Well, yeah, but the point is whether he's larger than another piece is not the relevance. What is relevant here is that he is not in scale with the 6-inch figures. In the cartoon, Aang rides on Appa's head.
Right.
And it's not a kind of a concave compartment in his back. It is a flat sort of gondola where both Katara and
Soko,
the brother, whatever his name is, they both ride back in there.
Right. Yeah, to me, this looks like an offshoot of the regular line. It's kind of like one of those accessories that they've added functionality to, but have taken away from its, you know, regular action figure value. I mean, look, he's molded there.
Yeah.
You know, he's only in one position. It looks like a, you know, a different plastic, which, by the way, no wonder why they can't make Legos anymore, because there's so much freaking plastic in this bison thing, right, or whatever, or vinyl or whatever this is made out of. The thing is huge. But that's the kind of toy that I would completely avoid as a kid. I would love the mobility, the posability of these figures, the way that they're designed, and everything. I think just kind of, you know, it loses the appeal for me just turning him into basically a stick connected to a helicopter gyro and then putting him in the back of this thing.
Well, in my opinion, the draw to that figure is not the Aang. It's the Appa.
From a collector's point of view, I'd have to agree. Yeah, definitely.
And my problem with that is that while you could theoretically display him with your Avatar collection, I think he's a placeholder for something that should come down the line. If they can do this, if they can do what amounts to a five and dime store $1.99 toy and blow it up into this big thing,
right?
What they should do is they should do an Appa action figure. Let it come in a box. Let it be a little more pricey. Let it be the big gift under the Christmas tree. But don't say, all right, how are we going to get Appa out just as a regular action figure? They feel like they can't do that. They got to monkey him up here with some sort of action pose thing. I think they've done the character a disservice here.
Okay.
You know, in the sense that they're kind of reducing him to, you know, what amounts to, you remember that thing where you had the Evel Knievel and you hooked him on and you revved him up like this and then pushed a button and released him and off the thing.
Right.
That's basically what this Appa figure is. It's something to wind up the exciting part of the toy shoots out of the back of this thing.
Right.
And I think that
it's a glorified launcher.
It basically is a glorified launcher. And I think it's a better character than that, and I think they should consider doing one for the 6-inch line.
What else you got there?
In addition to the figure line, Mattel also put out is putting out some role play toys, which Mattel is known for. I mean, they've done it in the past. They've done it with the Batman and Superman.
Yes, licenses.
I believe they've even done some stuff with the Barbie licenses that they have.
They might have.
So it's only fitting that it carries over to the Avatar license.
So there's a role playing Appa that shoots you out of its back in real life?
Not quite.
Flings little kids in the air?
Although that would be really cool.
Like to have one right now.
Right.
Shoot somebody out of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Stupid.
No, they have Aang's battle staff, which transforms from his regular staff into the glider that he uses to fly in the cartoon series. It comes with some combat sounds. It's motion activated, and you know, you push a button and it pops into the glider. It's pretty neat, actually. It's pretty cool. Fan of the show or kid looking to reenact, you know, some of Aang's adventures.
They have a little sampling of the battle staff sounds. Well, it's an interesting piece. Good start for the role play. They have cautioned people on the back, however, that this toy does not fly. It is intended for pretend play only.
Right.
So, parents, you might want to consider that before giving it to your kid. That you should let them know that they will not be able to fly like Aang with this staff. There's a second caution on here. Do not hit staff at any person. Do not hit staff at any person, animal, or object, as injury may result. Do not hit staff at any person. I don't think that's right.
I don't know.
Is that the English? Not hit staff at any person.
They're trying to be authentic to the background and of the show.
I don't think this. I think this is created in the U.S.
I don't know.
No, but it looks like it's some Japanese, like a fictional Japanese background of it, doesn't it?
No, I think it's totally created, totally unique.
Really? Maybe it's just the anime styling that's
misleading. Well, it's probably that, yeah. Certainly, it does have that anime feel to it. But it's anime. You know, I'm not a big fan of the anime. We've talked about this before in the past. And you know what? I can more than stomach this. I actually, I enjoy it a little bit.
Yeah, I agree.
And I plan on at least trying to keep up with it as I can.
Sure.
The DVD box set of season one or book one,
right,
which I guess is called Air or something like that,
right,
is out now.
Mm-hmm.
And they have some individual
discs as well.
For more information about Avatar The Last Airbender, you want to check out some of the toys or... I'm sure where the cartoon airs on Nickelodeon that you and your kids and your nieces and nephews or yourself can check out Avatar The Last Airbender. You can go to avatartoys.com, AVATARTOYS.com, and you can check out that stuff there.
Excellent.
Yeah, I think it's a great line. I think just in summation that the design is good. It seems like the cartoon has a great following.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know a lot of the kids who are watching Avatar The Last Airbender, and I hope that they're picking up these toys. I hope the parents are seeing the quality of these things. A couple of criticisms would be you should do a Katara figure immediately. She's too important a character not to be done simply because she's female. We've had this argument 1,000 times.
Right.
And with other companies as well. And Appa, I think, is a very important character. And while you wouldn't have to do necessarily a full-scale version for the 6-inch, which I think would be, you know, relatively humongous.
Right.
I think the one that you have done, the air-launching Aang and Appa pack here, I think is slightly too small. So perhaps something a little bigger. You know, we had a Millennium Falcon when I was a kid.
We did.
It was a huge, expensive toy, yet we all got it.
We all
had
it.
And then the following year, we got the AT-AT.
Yeah, it's true.
Huge, big, expensive toy. And I think these days, you know, even the design here as it is pretty great. I just think it needs to be a little closer to scale.
Sure.
I think more role-playing toys are not inappropriate as mm-hmm. well. And I think there's a lot here, but it seems to me the way they're going is that they have a limited plan here. You know, it's kind of like book one is air, and if book two is water, that leaves us like
two books.
Yeah, two. That's it. I was counting them on my hand. Two books. If that's the case, I hope they got plans.
Well, look. I mean, I'm sure the writing staff, and again, Mattel is only responsible, obviously, for the figure line. I don't think they're responsible for developing the show.
I don't believe you're inaccurate. Wait, is that right?
But I think it's right. But I'm sure that whoever is responsible for writing the show, if they feel the show is successful and can continue, they'll find a way to do it. They always do.
Like Aang in space.
Yeah, it's something like that.
Josie and the Pussycats. In outer space.
Aang takes Manhattan.
Yeah, that's it.
Something like that. You know, they'll figure out a way.
They'll land another element.
Yeah, exactly.
Will come from space and land. Wait, Earth, wind, fire, Commodores. Wait, no. Earth, wind, fire, water.
Time bending Aang.
Yeah, that's it. Ew.
Just saying.
So check it out. Look into it for the kids. I think this is a hot item.
I think so too.
I think on this Black Friday, you may do well by your children to get them interested in Avatar, The Last Avatar, The Last Tongue Twister,
right?
Or Airbender,
whatever.
And again, check them out at avatartoys.com, AVATARTOYS.com. Matt, in addition to all the great features already available on the home site, BigKevsGeekStuff.com, we have now created a forum so that fans of this show can listen and interact with each other.
Some of the forums include discussions about individual episodes, toys and action figures, comic books, TVs and movies, and other random bits of goodness that you may find online.
The fans of Geek Stuff can now interact with each other, talk about episodes, talk about things that we're discussing on the show, get their own opinions out there. Yeah. Now fans will be able to drop their show ideas right on the forum.
So check out the Geek Stuff forums by going to BigKevsGeekStuff.com and clicking on the forums link.
Yeah, let them fight amongst themselves. We got enough stuff to do.
Hello, this is Master Shake from Aqua Teen Hunger Force. Mama, you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Listen up. You still listening? All right, have fun, you geeks. Goodbye, Mama. Shut up.
And we're back with Geek Stuff, episode 33, Black Friday.
Dudes, you almost forgot to mention something.
What's that?
The Nintendo Wii.
Oh, shit, yeah.
And Sony PlayStation 3 came out.
They did.
And although did they? I didn't wait in any of the lines, I know that they're popular. And the reviews, on the whole, have been overwhelmingly good.
Especially for the Wii.
Especially for that Wii. That
Kevin and no loves one got so shot much. Buying the Wii.
No. A couple of people got beat up buying the PlayStation.
And robbed.
Did you hear about anybody getting killed?
Someone got, well, I don't know shot. If he got killed, but he got shot.
Oh, so he took a bullet, but it didn't take him out.
Yeah, some guy. And the guy that shot him wasn't even stealing PlayStations. He was stealing cash off the people. One of the stores had a cash line and a credit card line. And this guy was taking the cash or robbing the cash off the people on the cash line. One guy refused to give him the money, and he shot him.
Hey, that's only just.
Sure. Fuck you. Give me the cash. We're going to do a quick wrap-up of what we talked about tonight. Looks like there's some shortage of toys, maybe for Christmas, although I don't think it's going to be a Christmas issue. I think it's going to be a first quarter 2007 issue. But the problem seems to stem from China. Labor shortages, problems in some of the factories. So we'll see if that affects us, although I don't suspect that it will. In addition, Mattel right now is in the middle of a lawsuit with MGA Entertainment, the company that created the Bratz figures, for some intellectual property. It would seem a couple of employees left Mattel to go to MGA and took with them some of the trade secrets, although we don't know what they could possibly be, some of the business practices of Mattel, and helped launch a very successful line and franchise, the Bratz line.
Joe Quesada is called Man of the Year in this week's Wizard this month's Wizard magazine.
Right.
And he says that guys who are bitching about books with such passion are guys who are actually buying the comics, and he doesn't give a crap about what people say on the internet or the message boards. And I say you're wrong, Joe. I say I'm not buying your shitty books. I'll read them in the store. I'll read them on the newsstand. I'll read them online, but I ain't buying them.
We talked about some big movies for next summer. Probably most notably would be The Dark Knight, Batman 2, scheduled for a July 18th, 2008 release, along with the Iron Man film and the second Incredible Hulk film, which we seem to be a little shaky on both of those. Although I think Iron Man's going to end up being a pretty good product. I have zero faith in the Hulk film.
And you'd have less than zero faith considering that they're going to go ahead and change the actor playing Bruce Banner to somebody other than Eric Bana, which I think is the biggest mistake that they have going.
I agree.
I think Marvel films in general, with the exception of Spider-Man 3, are going to be weak and thready from here out, with the X-Men franchise seemingly down and the Spider-Man franchise seemingly down. There's nothing left. They got nothing in the pipe. And I think, honestly, other than looking forward to the second Batman movie, the only other thing to keep your eyes on at this point would be the Watchmen film, mm-hmm. 300, mm-hmm. Anything from
Stardust.
Anything from a more independent source is going to be the better movie. It's just the way it's going to boil out at this point.
Speaking of the independent sources, it looks like Frank Miller has released a teaser image of The Spirit, which potentially could be the next film he's working on in lieu of Sin City 2, although that hasn't been confirmed. It's just my opinion. In addition, we saw some teaser posters for Spider-Man 3, the next Harry Potter film, both which, you know, the Spider-Man poster really stresses the duality of the character in both the regular outfit and the black costume and his struggle. The Harry Potter teaser is really a teaser. It just features Voldemort. So we'll have to say, no Hermione.
Important to point out, no Hermione.
Right. However,
I think if you want to tease a young male fan, Hermione
is the way to go.
I think it goes without saying.
Right. Well,
also, we let you know about Absolute Batman The Long Halloween. The great Jeff Loeb, Tim Sale maxi series will be collected in DC's oversized slipcase hardcover, filled out to the max with extras, like a director's cut DVD, Matt says, this April. That'll be coming, and you should definitely check it out. One of the best Batman stories ever, in my opinion.
Sure. We talked briefly about the canceling of the remake of the Revenge of the Nerds.
Hallelujah.
The Trilands will not be reappearing on the screen. Good.
And finally, we gave notice that on December 5th, you can pick up your Animaniacs Volume 2 and Pinky and the Brain Volume 2, 5 and 4 discs, respectively, with tons of extras. We noted that when they released Animaniacs, they released it as Season 1, mm-hmm. and Pinky and the Brain as Volume 1. Now they seem to have changed their tune with Animaniacs, calling it Volume 2 rather than Season 2. So we have to see what that's all about.
A couple other quick things we hit upon would be Bone Crusher from the Transformer film is going to be a Force Protection Industries Buffalo, which is a military-grade mining vehicle with a backhoe on it. I said backhoe.
Okay.
You're looking at me.
I heard
funny.
You. Backhoe.
We also talked about the Xbox 360 Burger King games that came out, which would be Sneak King. What were the other two, Mr. Fantastic?
Big Bumpin' and Pocket Bike Racer.
Right. All of which you can get right now at Burger King with the purchase of a value meal. Sneak King, definitely kind of quirky. Has a very short shelf life, I would think. Not a lot of playability, but Big Bumping and Pocket Racer or whatever it is. Both pretty fun games. Got some good features for the 360 for live. I think they're kind of fun. I think they have a little bit more longevity to them.
Yeah, I think it's they're very niche and very weird. So we're going to see. We should probably in a year's time find out what happened on the resale value of those games.
Right. And then we talked real briefly about the launch of the PlayStation 3 and the Wii this past weekend. Both systems seem to be doing great out of the gate. Both systems very hard to come by right now. Nobody got shot trying to buy the Wii, however.
The game you want for PlayStation 3 is Resistance Fall of Man. For the Wii, you want to play The Legend of Zelda, Twilight Princess. Both of them really, really good games.
There's a lot of talk about that Nintendo Sports.
The
also.
Wii Sports also.
Wii Sports.
It's the packing that comes with the Wii, and it's surprisingly a big added value, yeah.
Not since Duck Hunt has a gaming system come with such a fine quality game.
I'm glad you like Duck Hunt so
really?
Much.
Really?
I love Duck Hunt.
I kind of liked Sonic the Hedgehog, it came with the Genesis.
Oh, yeah. No, that didn't come with the Genesis, did it?
Certainly did.
Yeah, and not the core system, but it did come with a version of the Genesis.
Well, didn't the core system come with Altered Beast?
No, yeah, the first included game in the Genesis was Altered Beast. Then they came out at the same time. You could either buy without the game the core system, or with the game, Sonic the Hedgehog.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Altered Beast.
Nice.
Dumb game.
From there, we went
into... Might as well come with Rampage.
Yeah, oh. I'd rather play Altered Beast.
Wait, Rampage you don't like?
Are you kidding?
Rampage is fun. It just gets repetitive.
Oh, my God. It's as boring as sin.
That's a test of your hardcore game ability, I guess. It is. I mean, you got to sit there and play the game through like 99 levels or whatever it is.
Is there any end to that game?
The new ones are like ridiculously long. You can play. There's like, you know, you visit cities over and over again. It's ridiculous.
Is there any end? Can you ever defeat one of those games?
Or? I don't know. I've never been able to do it. Yeah, the game is over when your pockets are dry.
Yeah, exactly. Or your thumbs hurt. You're playing it at home. From there, we talked about Mattel's Avatar figure line.
Yeah, Avatar The Last Airbender from Nickelodeon. A great cartoon. It's kind of what I'm calling eighth grade cool, meaning that it's really hitting its target demo with regards to who its audience is supposed to be. Yet, it's appealing enough for younger people and appealing enough for older people mm-hmm. and appealing enough for really older people. Like me and Matt.
Right.
So Mattel, of course, noting that this is an exceptional piece of cartoon, decides to go ahead and make a figure line. And they have been wildly successful in the... I don't know how the sales are. I got to say that they're pretty good because these are pretty... Some of these pieces are pretty tough to come by. In fact, we didn't even get one of them that we noticed over the break.
Yeah.
We didn't get...
One of the Soka figures, Soka. Right?
Yeah, we didn't get the Water Clan Soka, the first one.
That's crazy insane.
Dinks.
That does stink.
That being said, we did get a lot of them, and we did talk about them. They're great pieces. They come with a lot of accessories, a lot of playability here for the age group that is intended. And they're working on their second series now. They're working on their second, season. Cartoon wise,
right?
There's a full line of 6-inch figures, some vehicles, a 10-inch or 12-inch line,
10-inch line,
right, with some light up accessories mm-hmm. and action, as well as some special edition or what are we calling them?
Deluxe
6-inch figures.
Role playing the
Aang's battle staff. Which transforms and makes sounds. And finally, the piece we are definitely divided on, the air-launching Aang and Appa, which is basically kind of one of your little five-and-dime, $2 helicopter launcher things from when we were young.
I don't think he likes it.
No, not at all.
Built out into Aang and his pet flying bison, Appa.
Right.
Appa, I think, is a character that needs to be included in a better representational way for the 6-inch line, as well as the lead female character in the show, Katara.
Correct.
But getting back to the air launching Aang and Appa, I don't think that this is successful. Matt, you disagree.
Well, it's not that I disagree. It's that I think realistically you're not going to see a full-scale Appa figure made by Mattel, and in lieu of that figure, this Appa is not completely awful.
Okay. Good.
I think that's going to wrap up episode 33 of Geek Stuff Black Friday.
Hey, and if you haven't gone out there and shopped today, you really should get out there and shop tomorrow.
Right.
Seriously. Dude, seriously.
Totally. Say goodbye, guys.
Toys R Us is now going to start its late hours, so you can expect very soon the first installment of Big Kev's Geek Stuff video
segments.
Ooh, we got to find a better name for that.
Yeah.
That name stinks.
You'll come up with something.
I know I will.
You're a fancy man.
I know. So look forward to Matt and I taking Fantastic for his first midnight shopping experience.
Woo!
As well as keeping your eyes peeled, guys, for the special sales and the special times for sales and so on and so forth. This is the time of year when you're able to pick up a lot of stuff for cheap if you look. Did you know, I'm going to close out with this, did you know Smallville Seasons on DVD at Best Buy, $14.99 a season.
Entourage, $9.99 a season on Black Friday.
So this is the time, guys. Keep your eyes open. You can really pad out your DVD, your toy, your book collection. What do you got, Fantastic?
I want to let everybody know Lost Planet Extreme Condition free multiplayer demo available on the Xbox Live Marketplace November 23rd.
There you have it.
Try it.
There's something for everybody, and you'll always find it at Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
And on that note, we cue the music.
Grab that crab, Clarissa.
Eat that meat, Jennifer.
Why doesn't that feather look pleasant?
Soften your taste buds
for gastronomic ride.
Cause our two fat ladies are itching up to get into your kitchen.
Yeah!
Oh, yeah.